And a very good morning to everyone. Now, about a week ago, I was out at the concourse, and Pastor Dylan's son, 12-year-old son, came up to me, and he said, because he was actually in the concourse area helping to recruit people to join cell groups, so he told me, "You look very handsome today." Then he said, "If you're going to join a cell group, you're going to meet other good-looking people like yourself." So say to the person next to you, "They're looking good today." I want to invite all of you good-looking people to stand up to read the Word of God this morning. We're going to read from Leviticus chapter 19, just two verses, verse 33 and 34, together. Okay, on the count of three, we're going to read this together, all right? One, two, and three. "When a foreigner resides among you in your land, do not mistreat them. The foreigner residing among you must be treated as your native born. Love them as yourself, for you were foreigners in Egypt. For I am the Lord your God." May the Lord bless the reading of His word. Please be seated. You know, some years ago, during one of my mission trip to Nepal, there was some time back, and on the last day of the trip, I was about to leave the country. I went to the airport, and outside at the airport, I saw a group of people crowding outside the airport because they were not allowed to enter the airport because there's a requirement that, you know, if you're not a passenger, you're not allowed to get into the airport. And I saw this crowd, and among the crowds, I saw this older lady. And this older lady was like hugging a young man, and they were like very emotional, they were crying, then they were just like, you know, just being together and all that thing. And later on, I found out that old lady is actually the mother of this young man. And that young man was actually going to take a flight to come to Malaysia to work. And it was the first time for him to leave his country, the first time for him to leave his family and his village. And because I have been to some of the villages around Nepal, I saw the poverty, I saw the living condition of the places, so I could understand why he needed to leave his country and come to work in Malaysia. And so after coming back to Malaysia, I began to get involved in the migrant ministry, particularly among the Nepalese. And in the process, I also one day I was talking to one of our Nepali brother, and his name is Kiran. And Kiran accepted Christ, and he was baptized here in DUMC. And in the course of my conversation, I was asking him, "So Kiran, actually, which hometown do you come from, you know, in Nepal?" Then he told me he come from this place called Badibas. Then I told him, "Hey, Badibas, I've been there. I've been to your hometown, Badibas." And I was ministering together with one of the pastors there. His name is Pastor Hanok. And then Kiran told me, "Hey, Pastor Hanok is my uncle. He's my mother's brother." And because my whole family, they're not Christians, so Pastor Hanok has been trying to reach out to my family, trying to get my family to come to church, but he has not been very successful. But because now I have accepted Christ in Malaysia, and I told my testimony to my family, and my family have decided they too want to become a Christian. And there too, all of them have decided to join Pastor Hanok Church. So it was amazing when I heard that, because here we are trying to reach nations as we go for mission trips, as we send missionaries out. But at the same time, God has also opened my eyes that there are many foreigners in our midst, and opened up my mind as well as to the fact that mission field is right here at our doorsteps. Amen? And this is a golden opportunity even for us as the church, as people of God, to reach out to many of these, to ignite their hearts for Christ, and they will bring back this gospel of truth and set ablaze their own nations for Christ as well, and to bring the revival fire back to their own land. Amen? And that's what we seek to do even as a church together, and that's the whole big idea that I want to present to us this morning. That the diasporas, they are in our midst, and they are the gateways to the nations. Yeah, the diaspora in our midst. Now, gateway to the nations. Diaspora is a big word to some of us because we often hear about this word, but sometimes you do not know the meaning of that word. Now, diaspora is not actually an English word, it's a Greek word, and it actually means dispersion, dispersed, or scattered, or simply people on the move. And when we look at this, we are referring actually to people who have to leave or been relocated from their country of origin, their place of birth, to another location. And this includes, for example, the migrant workers, the refugees, the asylum seekers, the international students, or even some of the immigrants that are among us. And this has given us the opportunity to reach out to them in what we call the diaspora missions. Diaspora mission is a very important area of ministry. And therefore, as a church, we need to respond to what God is doing in our midst by sending the nations into our land. And there are three lessons that we can learn from Leviticus chapter 19, verse 33 and 34. And this is all about diaspora missions. And the first thing is this. Diaspora missions is God's strategic plan. Everybody say, God's strategic plan. Now, it's God's strategic plan because it's not actually something that happened by accident. It's not something that, you know, it's a man-made idea that we decided, yeah, it's a wonderful ministry to, you know, just let's do it, you know. It's not even an afterthought that, you know, God is saying, hey, you're not going out enough to the field. You're not going to the mission field. So therefore, I'm going to bring the nations to you, to your doorstep, so that you can reach out to them. It's not that. It's actually God's strategic plan. And as we read here in Leviticus chapter 19, verse 33, it says that when a foreigner resides among you in your land, it says that when the foreigners reside in your land, it didn't say if the foreigners reside in your land, although in some of your version of the Bible, the New King James actually says if, but in the original Hebrew text, the word that is used is actually key, which means that for or when. Yeah, that for or when gives us a more definite tone to what God is actually doing among the people, saying to the Israelites that in the foreigners will indeed, they will be living among you. In fact, foreigners were already, they were already living among the Israelites when they were in Egypt, and some of them actually followed them out of Egypt on the way to the promised land. And we read of that in Exodus chapter 12. Let's read this together, verse 37 and 38 on the count of 3, 1, 2, and 3. The Israelites journeyed from Ramesses to Sukkoth. There were about 600,000 men on foot, besides women and children. Many other people went up with them. Now, we notice that on the last line, it says that many other people, referring to the non-Israelites. There were other people who came out together with the Israelites out of Egypt. And these are the foreigners who were in the midst of the Israelites. Yeah? In fact, if we look back to the very beginning of time, it was actually God's real intention to have people scattering, diasporas happening around the world. If we look at Genesis chapter 1, in the creation story, after God has created Adam and Eve, the first thing that God said to them, imagine this, friends. Human ears, the first voice that they heard was the voice of God. And the voice of God was telling them these words, Adam and Eve, be fruitful and multiply. Now, be fruitful and multiply is something that we often say to marrying couples during their wedding day, right? They say, hey, now you're getting married, huh? Okay, after this, huh? Have many children. Be fruitful and multiply. Like Pastor Sam, like Pastor Moy Hao. Have many children. Yeah? But it's really not about having children for the sake of having children, because the second part of the words actually say, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it. Fill the earth, meaning that what God is really saying to Adam and Eve is, hey, guys, look, you're going to have many offspring, you're going to have great, you're going to have many children, you're going to have many grandchildren, you're going to have many great-grandchildren and great-great-grandchildren, and they are not going to be staying in this garden of them, and they're going to be scattered all over the world. They're going to populate the whole earth with people. They're going to be scattered every part of the world so that worship can rise up to me from every part of the world. And that is really something that God placed such importance on, because the same thing was repeated to Noah and the sons when they came out from the ark after the flood in Genesis chapter 9, verse 1. The same thing he said, be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth, subdue it. The same thing said twice to two different sets of people. And therefore, it's such an important command from God. And we know the rest of the story, because after that, people decided not to scatter. They decided to stay in one place, build the Tower of Babel, and then God came in, confused their language, and then involuntarily caused them to be scattered around the world. And since then, people have been on the move, from time of Old Testaments, we see people going to exiles and then into New Testament, and even up to today, around the world, according to data that has been given by United Nations in 2017, there are about 258 million international migrants around the world. And 80% of these are found in Asia. In Malaysia alone, 30% of our workforce, they are foreigners. Meaning that there are about 4.5 million migrant workers in our midst, both documented and undocumented. Now, I know that in recent days, our mind and our ears are very accustomed to hear numbers like that. Million, billion, trillion, you know, these kind of numbers. But here, we're not talking about dollars and cents, you know. We're not talking about ringgit, Malaysia, you know. We're talking about people. These are people in our midst that numbers 4.5 million people for foreigners around us. In other words, it represents about 14% of our Malaysian population. Imagine, 14% of our Malaysian population, more than the number of Indians in our midst in Malaysia. So there are more migrants than Indians in Malaysia. So that presents to us a very large mission field that we have access to, and through them, accessing to the nations. And so as a church, we need to respond. And that brings me to my second point, which is our corporate responsibility. Everybody say, our corporate responsibility. You know, as a church, we have a corporate responsibility towards the diaspora. Just like what God has told the Israelites. He says here in verse 33 and 34, first part, he says that, when a foreigner reside among you in your land, do not mistreat them. The foreigners residing among you must be treated as your native born. You notice here that the command was given to Israelites saying that they will be living among you. So it is a corporate responsibility for the Israelites. It's not just for one person, the two person kind of command, you know, that they have to do it, you know, but it was given to the nation of Israel as a whole. That means the whole of Israel has to be responsible towards the foreigners in their midst. The same for us as the church. So as a church, we have to collectively decide that we need to respond to embrace the foreigners in our midst. And I like this quote by Todd Johnson and Gina Zulo. Both of them are mission researchers and I've written this article called The Global Christianity and Global Diaspora that was published in this book called Global Diaspora and Missions. And in that article, they wrote this: Christians are called to know and to love their neighbors. As Pastor Chris mentioned earlier on, neighbors referring in this context to the diaspora. And the whole church needs to participate in this acts of services. Of service, yeah? So it's not just one or two person doing it, but it's a call for us as a church collectively to respond to this call to embrace the nations in our midst. So how do we do that, friends? As a church, there are many things that we can do. We can act justly, we can act mercifully and righteously, you know, towards the way that we treat foreigners in our midst. And one of the best scripture that we are looking at here also telling us some of the ways that we can respond towards this the call of how we can act upon this call. The first is this. It says here, when the foreigner resides among you in your land, do not mistreat them. Do not mistreat them, meaning that we need to treat well those who are around us. We need to embrace them. We need to not only treat them well, as a people of God, as Christians, I think we can go a step further by not only treating the people in our midst well, but also to ensure that they are treated well, meaning that we can be a voice, we can be an advocate for many of these. And some of you may remember that Pastor Chris shared before at one time that his neighbors, one of the neighbors' mate, was not well treated, so he wanted to come up and just plead on her behalf and just to come alongside to help her. That is an example of how we could actually do that. Of course, there are so many ways, because among us, there are also many undocumented and sometimes documented foreigners working here. And at times, they are also wrongly arrested or detained by the authorities. And there's so many times that some of us, we have to go to the police station, we have to go to the immigration department to plead for their release because some of them were not properly arrested, although they have documentation. And there are also times that we have to represent them in courts. We have, even among us sometimes, they have got lawyers who decided to just help them pro bono. And we thank God for them, because they are the ones who have just come alongside, decided to do this because they recognize that, you know, the foreigners and armies, they need help. And the second thing is this. We need to treat the foreigners as our native born. Now, that does not mean that we give citizenship to the foreigners in our midst. It means that we need to treat them fairly. We need to show impartiality towards the foreigners in our midst. And some of these include, for example, medical treatment. If, say, for example, a migrant workers go to a hospital, general hospital, to seek treatment, they need to pay the full amount. They don't get subsidy. They do not get to pay cheaper rate compared to us Malaysians. So there are doctors who come alongside them, for example, to provide mobile clinic and to serve them for free, and we thank God for them as well. And there are also those that are kids of refugees, they need education. And because of that, they have no access to government schools. They need to be helped in terms of education. And we thank God for a ministry like El Shaddai in Klang that I got to visit them 2 weeks ago. I went to some of the centers that they have in providing education to some of these refugee kids. And in those centers that they have, because they're an NGO, so they have to get borrowed premises and rented premises. They do it around Klang in different parts and in churches, in some shop lots and things like that. And they've got about 800 kids in those classes. And 80% of them are non-Christians. And as they were doing that, the person who was in charge of those ministries, they also mentioned to me that there are also about another 100 over who are on the waiting list. They can't come in because they don't have enough facilities, they don't have enough teachers, they don't have enough resources. Business owners, treat our foreign staff well. Employers, do that. Provide them proper accommodation, for example. I remember visiting one of the hostel of the migrant workers at one time. And as I was going up to this place, it was on the first floor of a shop lot area, shop lot space. And I was going up and I opened the door. And to my horror, on the floor, there were about 20 over mattresses lining up side by side. So the workers were actually sleeping that way, side by side on mattresses. And not only that, because these are security guards, so they work shifts, right? They work shifts. So in the daytime, this person was sleeping on this bed. Nighttime, another person was sleeping on the same bed. Sometimes that's the kind of condition that we see, and it breaks our heart when we see that. So how do we as Christians respond to that? Love them. We are called to love our neighbors. So how do we love our neighbors? We can show loving hospitality to those who have got felt and immediate needs. And I thank God for our CES, our Community Access Services, providing sometimes food through our food bank and through our help desk to some of these who don't even have proper meal to eat. Serve the diaspora community. We have, for example, English classes that we started among us, among the Myanmaris, among our Iranians, among our Nepalis. Serve in those. And we have another group. We call them our heroes because they are our midnight cowboys. Because they serve our Myanmar celebration on Tuesday night. And they're ones who provide transportation to go to different parts of PJKL and to ferry some of these people to come to the church on the Tuesday night, midnight. And the next day, they go back to work. And some of these, they go on shift. They come on first shift. They come and ferry them to come, you know, and after the celebration ended about 3, 4 a.m., then they send them back again, you know. And some of these are on double shift. They bring them here, and then they bring them back. And the next day, they go back to work. And we thank God for them. And the best way to actually show love is to share the love of Christ with some of these. Amen? And increasingly, it becomes easier when many of these foreigners, when they come to Malaysia, because they are in the state of vulnerability, position of vulnerability. So they are more receptive towards the gospel. And at the same time, in terms of communication, it's also easier because many of them, they have learned our language. And I remember one time when I was driving a few Myanmarists to Ipoh for our event, evangelistic event in Ipoh. So by the way, we have started, you know, fellowships in Ipoh, Johor Bahru, and Melaka. So we extended beyond Klang Valley. So I was driving them there, and then I was driving on the way, I was talking to them, and one of these, the lady, you know, her name is Piu Piu, and she was saying, oh, speak to me in Bahasa, because she's more conversant in Bahasa. And she was telling me that when she came to work in Malaysia, she landed in Penang. And when she was in Penang, she befriended this Indonesian lady who was a Christian, who shared Christ with her in Bahasa, because she learned the language. And then this Indonesian lady brought her to church, to the Bahasa church. And she became a Christian as a result of that, through Bahasa-speaking person. So it's easier sometimes when people who come to our nation, they also learn to speak our language and they are able to communicate the good news of Jesus Christ to them. So friends, we know that diaspora mission is God's strategic plan. We also know that diaspora missions is something that as a church we have a corporate responsibility towards. What then motivates our heart to take action on this? That brings me to the last point. Our personal persuasion. Everybody say, our personal persuasion. What would drive us? It's not just about an understanding of the mind. It's really about an understanding of the heart that would cause us to respond. And in Leviticus 19, verse 34, God told the Israelites this, love them as yourself, loving the neighbors as yourself, for you yourself were foreigners in Egypt before this. So God was reminding the Israelites that, hey, you guys were also formerly, you know, foreigners in a foreign land. So you have to treat the foreigners well. And I believe that God is also reminding us as Malaysians that we ourselves, our forefathers, they were also foreigners in our land before. Right? All of us, I mean, they are Chinese, we've got Indians, we've got many different races here, but our forefathers came to Malaysia as foreigners. So we are descendants of immigrants. We are descendants of people who were diaspora, and therefore we are also a diasporic people. But God, by His divine design and divine appointment and by His grace, has brought us here to Malaysia so that we can know Him, we can encounter Him, we can experience His love in our life. Because God has positioned us here somehow for us to be brought out of darkness into His wonderful light. And we have received this love of God, the powerful love of God into our life, into our heart. And therefore, we have a responsibility and we have the opportunity right now to pass on that love to others. From one diasporic people to another diasporic people. I remember about a month ago when I was just finished doing communion for the Myanmar celebration. So I came out and then Moses, one of the worship team member who was standing at that side just now, you know, Moses. So Moses came out to me and said, hey, Pastor, please pray for me. I said, pray for what? He said, pray for me to have a passion to share Christ. I said, hey, Moses, you know, I know you well, you know. You are really so passionate in sharing Christ with a lot of people, among your people. What else you want? You say, no, I want this special anointing from God so that I have the boldness and the passion to share Christ with not just Myanmar people, but also the Chinese, to the Indians, and to the Malays. I was like, wow, God, you know, what an amazing request that He has. And He asked me to pray for Him. So I say, okay, let me pray for you, you know. So He knelt down on the floor and I prayed for Him. And I was praying that prayer. I was also claiming that prayer for myself, you know, because I too need that, you know. I also need to have that kind of, you know, passion and courage and boldness to do that as well. So friends, our missions, as we reach out to the diaspora, it's not only to the diaspora, but it's also through them and beyond them. Because through them, as they also reach out to their own countrymen, At the same time, also for them to reach out to others beyond them, to other nationalities, to other ethnic groups, to other tribes. That's why the big idea, the diasporas in our midst are the gateways to the nations. And that's an opportunity that we have as we continue to do this and continue to just allow God to use us to minister to many of these. I'm going to get Pastor Sarah right now to come and share her story of how God has used her and as God has also blessed her tremendously and bringing many to Christ through her ministry as well. Over to you, Pastor Sarah.
Yeah. Thank you, Pastor Kevin. Thank you, church, for this opportunity to share my life testimony, how I am impacted by many of Malaysians, and how I can be a channel of blessing to many Myanmarese and other nationality in Malaysia. My name is Sarah. I'm from Myanmar. I'm wearing a very special dress today. I hope you have never seen this kind of dress, right? So this is Myanmar dress. I wear it purposely because I want you to have in mind that, oh, this is a Myanmar lady. Because many places I went and preach, if I wear English, you know, formal dress, then they will always ask me, are you sure you are Myanmar? I say, yes, I am Myanmar. Are you Chinese? I say, no, I'm not Chinese. Or maybe you are Myanmar Chinese. I say, no, I'm not Myanmar Chinese. I am purely Myanmar. And I that's my, you know, that's why I wear it. So you know that I am Myanmar. I came to Malaysia at my age of 16. And now I am 27. So it has been about over 10 years, in 11 years. So my life is really blessed by Malaysia. Really, I love Malaysia. I love Myanmar and I love Malaysia because half of my life is here. So, and many things happen in my life in Malaysia. That's why Malaysia is very special for me. At first, I came to Malaysia with very big vision. I have a very big vision to buy a mobile phone. So I didn't come here to attend a big college or I come here to be rich. I don't have that kind of vision. Thank God that God didn't only fulfill my vision. Sometimes we pray, God, fulfill our vision, fulfill our desire. But be careful. If we pray that, oh God, only fulfill our desire is so small before God. So we need to have God's kind of vision. Amen. So my vision to go to Malaysia is to buy a mobile phone, but end up being in Malaysia when I touched the Malaysia land in airport, my auntie passed me a mobile phone. So I was shocked, you know, is it the end? Should I go back to Myanmar now? But I end up here 11 years now. And what happened is in Myanmar, mobile phones are very expensive. It costs about $3,000 per SIM card, less 10 years ago. But now it's very cheap already. But that time, it costs about $3,000. And all of my friends, they are rich people, so they can have it. So I really love to have that kind of, you know, communication system. So I in my age of 15, 16, when I was only a high school student, my heart, I always think that one day I will go to Malaysia and I will buy a mobile phone. That's my dream. But thank you, Jesus. He changed my life. Amen. So I came to Malaysia and I met with Jesus here in one of the church in Kuala Lumpur. I met with Jesus and I received my salvation. Since that time onward, my life is totally changed. Because of Jesus, I have a very meaningful future. Last time, I walk in a Photoshop. I think my life is like a robot. I work, I eat, and next day I work again and I eat. There is no meaning in life. But after I heard the gospel of Jesus, and my heart is filled with the love of Jesus. In my heart, I have a desire to serve Jesus. And my life became totally changed. Since that time, after you have Jesus in your life, you always want to share about Christ to the people around you. Amen? If you are not sharing, something has happened. So you better check yourself. But for myself, because I have Jesus in my life. I want to share it out to many people. And so around my house, there are many Myanmarese people. They are working at a restaurant. They are working at a grocery shop. So whenever I see them, I will share gospel and Jesus with them. I am a very active member in church. I involve in many ministries. I involve in dance ministry. I involve in worship ministry. I involve in wedding ministry. I involve in youth ministry, evangelism ministry. Every ministry I am there. And I'm 5 days a week in church. But I still feel that I still feel that it's not enough. I still want to serve Jesus, not only in church, but outside of the church. So in around my area, I will share gospel and I will bring them to my house. And we started a cell group at 2009. And in the cell group, we started with 10 people. These people are, some of them are drunkards, some of them are alcoholic, some of them are drug addicts, but we will bring them in. We will say always that, oh, today is my brother's birthday, and next week is my mother's birthday, and we will bring them in, you know. Who knows that, you know, we can always celebrate birthday again and again. So we will celebrate, and because Myanmar people, they are very polite, and they will always honor your request, so they will come. They will come and hear us, you know, preach the gospel, and sometimes they really become a friends with us. So they always come to the cell groups, and we started a cell group with 10 people. But God has, you know, actually bringing in more and more, and within 1 year it became 30 people, and I believe that God has a great plan for our life. I really believe that. And I didn't know what we have started, but one day I pray to God, God, what is my life? I kneel down and pray beside my babe, and I told to God, what is my future? What am I going to do? Am I working in Photoshop all my life? Should I serve you? If I have to serve you, there is no chance for me to serve, you know, in a church, or because my mother always say, we are here to walk and earn money. You are not here to be a pastor or the priest, you know. She will always say to me, but I want to serve you, Jesus. So God showed me a vision. Then the vision, I saw that I am running on the seashore, and a lot of young people are behind me. And God, I am teaching them how to run. Actually, I'm not a good runner in outside. But in the vision, I am teaching them how to run. So I asked God, what is this? God say, Sarah, one day you will become the leader of many young people. You will draw them into the kingdom of God, and you will equip them to be the minister, to be my servants, and you will train them up. I say, yeah, this is a big vision from God, and I receive it. Actually, as a young person, I was only 17 then. You imagine, 17 years old girl, receive this kind of vision. It must be crazy. I want to tell all the, you know, young people here, sometimes God will show you a big vision, but do not neglect it, or do not say it is impossible. With God, all things are possible. And I am the testimony of it. I am the testimony of it. I am nothing. I was poor lady. I have no education. I have no chance to become a pastor or anyone. But God, if God tells you something, then that must be fulfilled, because He is the God. Amen. So I have a very, you know, I have a very big vision, but there is no open door for me. But God, one day, let me meet with divine appointment in my walk. I am working at a photo shop as a photographer, and one day one of the lady came and print pictures. I look at in her pictures. I saw Myanmar people in the pictures. So I ask her, hey, sister, what is this pictures about? And she said, oh, I went to Myanmar for mission trip. I know that because I saw these pictures, you know, there is a Tanaka here. Myanmar people, they like to put this kind of makeup, you know. So, yes, so I asked her, so are you Christian? Yes, she says, I'm from DUMC Church. I don't know what is DUMC. So I say, okay, very good. And she's, I gave her my number because I am really want to serve Jesus. So I say to her, sister, if you need any help with Myanmar work, you just call me. I will help you. I don't know why did I say that, but I'm, you know, very, you know, full of passion for Jesus. That's why I gave her my number. And sure enough, she, in the next few months, she called me back in the month of December. She said, we are doing a walk in Selayan area. So we want to throw a Christmas party for children's day. So would you like to come and organize this party? I say, yes, I would like to. So I accepted her, you know, invitation, and me and my friends, we went down and throw the party for the children, and children were very happy, and they hear the gospel of Jesus Christ there. They are from another faith, but they hear the gospel of Jesus, and many accepted Jesus as well. So, but on that night, I decided I will never come back again there. Because the place is, you know, children are a little bit naughty. And I'm not very good with children. I know that I'm not called for that, I think. So I've decided, you know, in the future, I will not come back again. I hope she will not invite me again as well. So that's how I am. And another divine appointment is I met with Pastor Raymond Nguyen. He is a Malaysian. I'm sure you know him. He is the principal of the School of Arts. And he came to my shop and he repaired watch. Because in our shop, we have another shop, is a watch shop. So he came and repaired his watch. And I met with him and I say, hello, Pastor, because, you know, I am excited to meet a minister. And I know him because one of my friends is his student. So he introduced, you know, he tell me about him. So I say hello and I say, oh God, you know, why did I say that? Because I have no other words to say. Because that time my English is so little. So little mean I don't know much of how to say English. So I say, hi, Pastor. And oh, he say, hi, hello, Sarah. He don't talk my name. Yeah. Hello, sister. Well, how can I help you? I know you. He said, oh, do you know me? Where did you know? I met you at one of the seminar, and I attended one of his seminar, and I know him. And he said, okay, that's good. I always wanted to attend your school. I just say that because to be nice, right? So, and he say, oh, do you like to attend? Then we will send you, you know, our enrollment form. And I say, yes, that would be good. But in my heart, I will not attend. And I love to attend, but I know my family condition. I'm the eldest in the family. I need to support my family. I come to Malaysia to walk. My mother say, you know, you don't come to Malaysia to be a good Christian or priest or pastor. So I know my family condition, but I want just to be nice to the, you know, pastor. So I say, okay, but I in my heart, I think he is a very busy man. He has an international ministry. How can he remember a girl from Photoshop, you know? So I just think he will forget me. But he didn't forget. I believe that God reminded him. In the next 6 months' time, he sent somebody the enrollment form for me. And I was surprised. I know that this must be God. So I pray and I really seek God's face. God, do you really want me to go through this training? Because if you really want me to be a full-time minister or the one who is supposed to serve you, then I should be equipped. I cannot be just simply go out and, you know, teach people. But I am not trained yet. So if you really want me to go through that, you have to give me a miracle. So I really pray God and seek God's face, and I hear His voice that I have to go through this. So I go through this training. God shows me many, many miracles. And like financially, He support my school fees, and he support my families, and I saw many miracles through the school. So that's why Malaysia is very important for me, because I accepted Jesus here. I am baptized by a Malaysian pastor here, and I am, you know, I am trained in Malaysia. So Malaysia is special for me. And another thing is, in the school, before we finish the school, every students are excited, as you know. What shall we do after the school? So I am also excited, and my friends, they are pastor children. So after the school, they can go back and serve in their church, in their father church, you know, or their relative church. But I am no one. My church also, you know, doesn't call for full-time minister, because in Malaysia, to serve in a Myanmar church is really like an impossible thing, because you know, they don't have really, you know, have a system to call a, you know, full-time pastor or full-time staff. So normally people are like, they just volunteer in the church. So I really pray, God, where should I serve you? And I was praying and seeking God. God, show me a vision. In the vision, I saw that the children where I went and, you know, share the gospel in the Christmas, I saw their faces. Oh, Jesus. You know, at that time, I have decided not to go back there. Why did you show me now? So I rebuke in Jesus' name. You know? And I think this must be, you know, because I'm scared. That's why I just come in. But I didn't answer. I didn't answer to Jesus, because I know if I answer him, then he will, you know, ask me. So then I just keep it quiet. So next morning, I was leading worship. I was singing the song called "As the Deer Panteth for, Oh My Soul Long for You, Jesus." And I was singing and leading with this song. You know, when you lead worship, your eyes were closed. Really, you know, oh dear Jesus. You know? But Jesus said, "You are lying to me." I say, "No, Jesus, you know how much I love you. Why do you use this kind of harsh word to me?" And Jesus said, "Sarah, you are lying to me, because you don't obey what I'm telling you to do. But you are saying that I desire you, I love you, I long for your word. But you are not obeying me when I ask you to do." And I say, "Jesus, you know I would love to do, but it's so hard for me. You know I am a woman." Jesus say, "Yes, I know you are a woman." You know, sometimes we have a reason to give God, you know, "Oh, I'm a woman." And I say, "I'm very young as well. And to go to this kind of place, because this place is very far from here, I have to take 2 steps of train and 1 step of bus. So it takes about 1 hour plus. It's about 1.5 hours. And in that place, there are about, you know, over 3,000 Myanmarese people there. And they stay like a community. So in that place, it's like a dark area, little murder cases, rape cases, gangsters, and drug addicts. They are using drug on the road, you know. We can see that when we went. So I'm very scared. I am a lady and I'm alone as well. So I think it should not be the place I should go. And I gave Jesus the reason. But Jesus say, "I'm asking you to go." But he don't ask me anymore. He asked the lecturer. The lecturer came up on the stage and he grabbed the microphone and he prophesied, "There is somebody here. God is telling you to go somewhere, but you are saying that you are young and you cannot do it. God say, go. I will be with you. I will multiply you like a 5 loaves and 2 fishes. I will multiply you from thousands of people." I say, "Oh Jesus, he is talking about me. His hand is pointing to the friend, but I am behind him." I am behind him, and I know that that person is me. So I have to obey to God. If not, he will speak to me again and again. So I have to obey, and I say, "God, this is not what I want. This is not my choice, but if you choose me, if you tell me to do, I will go. So I choose this part, and I decided after school, I will go. But God has a very human sense. In that evening, somebody called me. This person is from that school in Selayan. He is the in-charge person of that school, and he called me. Hey, Sarah, you know, I need a teacher in our school. Do you know anyone to recommend? I say, yes, yes, I know. There is a teacher for you. Let us meet. So we met in a McDonald's here in section 14, and we sit down, and I say, yeah, I am your teacher, your school teacher. And he was surprised as well. So I say, after my school, I will fast and pray for 1 week, and I will come to this. I will come to your school. So I choose the school. This is also a divine appointment. So in the school, I serve the children. I teach the children A, B, C, D, E, F, G. You know, this is not my dream. This is not my desire. But I still do it because Jesus called me to do it. And faithfully, I serve there. After 6 months, I work in there. He told me, I would like you to meet with the pastor, you know, of our ministry, because our school is supported by one of the church. This church is called DUMC. So he arranged a meeting for me to meet with a pastor, CES director, Pastor Margaret. He arranged a meeting with me and Pastor Margaret, and we meet up, and she asked me, what do you do other than, you know, serving in the school? I say, I have a cell group at my house. I have a people, about 30 people in my cell group. And she was very surprised, and she said, oh, can 30 people can contain in your house? I say, yeah, we have to squeeze, yeah, very tight, you know. After we finish the meeting, it is like a rice cooker, you know, all sweat. So, and she said that, yeah, maybe our church can open up the space for you guys to meet. So if we open up the space, do you like to come and do the gathering here? I don't think twice, because my house is very near to DUMC. It is just behind this building in section 14. So I believe that God has already planned where I have to stay and where I am going to serve before I come to Malaysia. Because I stay in the house since I come to Malaysia. So God has already planned everything. So if it is far from my house, then we will think again. But if it is so near, we easily, cell group can move to here. So I say, yes, we would like to have a meeting here. And Pastor Margaret discussed with the pastors, and they decided to adopt our group as part of the UMC. And we came in at 2010, December, 1st of December, and it has been 8 years in DUMC now. We start with 30 people, and it grew from 30 to 100, 200, 300, and now every week our regular attendance is 800 people. Praise God. We started with one cell group, and now we have over 150 cell group and follow-up group throughout Klang Valley, and also church planting in Ipoh, Melaka, and Johor Bahru. Praise God. And every church outside of Klang Valley, they have over 50 people in their gathering, and we are believing for more in this, you know, coming year ahead. So why I am sharing this to you is I am so blessed by Malaysian. The lady who came into my Photoshop, who called me to serve the Myanmar people in Selayan, and the school in charge, who bothered me, oh, maybe this girl has a potential for the people, you know, to serve the people. That's why he arranged a meeting with a pastor from DUMC. And I'm really thankful for Pastor Margaret as well, because she sees that mission, this mission's works in Malaysia can be reached out. And I really thank you for the pastors here who open up the church for the different congregation, different language groups, different nationalities. how it has impacted life is, you know, we cannot even imagine it. It is still multiplying and multiplying and multiplying. So I want to thank all the Malaysians. And I want to say to you, continue to do it. Continue to impart to the lives of other nationality. You do not know who you will meet. And that person can multiply so much more. We do not know that. So by faith, let's invest into their lives. Like the person who came into my shop to print the photo. She bothered to talk to me. She bothered to take my number. She bothered to call me back. And the person who is in the school, who bothered to talk to me and arrange meetings. So no one knows what will happen after what you've done. But it can be a great thing for the people. A lot, thousand of people. So please be faithful in little. Please be faithful in someone you meet. Invest into their life. Speak to them about Christ. Speak to them and encourage them to live life worthy. And this can be a great blessing for them. Through our Myanmar church, many, many Myanmar people are blessed. But I can say that this work can be happen because of many Malaysians helping us, like drivers in the midnight, you know, just now Pastor Calvin told, every Tuesday night, when we started the ministry, I was very scared there is no volunteer for the drive, for the transportation, because people really want to come to church, but we need to carry them here, because there, some of them, they are illegal. They are, you know, they are not documented. Some of them, they are far away, so they could not spend the money to come to church. Some of them, they do not know how to come. So we have to fetch them up to come to church. And it, to serve in the midnight is really a challenge. I really salute them because it's not easy. But I believe it is from God, the passion from God. I pray that this passion can come to you as well. So some of them, they will serve in the midnight. They will drive until, you know, 2, 3 a.m. And I say to the people that, you know, we let us pray for more drivers. I am scared that, you know, there is not enough driver. I don't scared of demons. I don't scared of people. You know, people always say that you are very, you know, fearless lady. Yeah, I don't fear. But I am fear there is not enough driver that night, you know, because it is really challenge for us. If there is no driver, people cannot come to church. So the people like Drew Crew, you know, people like media people who train our people in media, people like, you know, vocal trainer, you know, they train our worship team and they train our musicians. They all play a big role in this mission together. They really play a big role. And I'm very thankful for that. And Pat, don't stop here. Let us continue to do that. And every one of us, let us continue to do that. I imagine that God's words is really, it is like a mustard seed. The seeds may be small, but it can multiply to many, many, many people. So the work you do can multiply to many, many, many people. So I want to end these thoughts with you. When I served Jesus, I was only 18. When I came to DUMC, I met with Pastor Daniel. I say that I am only 18, and he said, oh, you are, you know, like a child. I'm like hiring you like a child laborer. But I saw potential in you. He believed me. I thank you for believing me. And when I was young, people around me say, Sarah, you are doing like an adult job. You know, you pray, you fast, you pray, you read Bible, like an old lady, they say. And I wear very formal. So my friends say, your life is boring. Some of them, they look at my picture, they are in state. So they look at my picture and they say, "Oh, Sarah, you look so old now." I say, "Oh, they got pity on me." I say, "Do not be pitied. I know what I am doing." And after 8 to 9 years, like many lives has transformed. And I feel that it is worth it all. People call me old or people call me, you know, boring. Never mind. It doesn't matter. The thing is, how many lives have we touched? How many lives are transformed? What we are doing here, church, let me encourage you. Sometimes we can pursue the pleasure of this world, but let us pursue the call of God, the call of Jesus. Jesus say, "Go out to the world." The world means to many other nationalities. Let us go out to the world and touch many lives. I want to pray together with you today. Shall we rise up from your seat? DUMC is very special. This church is mission involving church. You are part of it. Sometimes you may not see it because we do our service in midnight. But I'm here to announce and share you. You are part of a great plan of God. So continue to keep up this. Continue to do this. Continue to passionately do the work of God. Do not stop it. Sometimes it may be boring. Sometimes it may be hard. But let us continue to do. Because in the next few years, we do not know yet. But great things are lying ahead of us. So let us continue to believe and put our faith and continue to do that. I want to encourage you. So today, I want to call. If there's anyone that you feel that God is telling you to involve in mission works, I don't mean to go out of the country, but the mission work here in Malaysia, you decide that I don't want to live for myself. I want to live for Jesus. He is calling me to reach out to the people in these nations. They are Nepalese, Bangladesh, Myanmarese. They may be small. They may be poor. But God has planned big visions in their life. I will help them. I will pray for them. I will share the love of Jesus. I will encourage them to fly. I will encourage them to fly the way that God's called them to be. If you decided, then I want you to come out. I want to pray for you. The pastor of the church wants to lay hands and pray for you. They want to impart in your life this fire of Jesus to touch many other nationalities, many other people, to love them. If you feel them, if you want this fire of God, can you please come forward? The pastor and the leaders will come and pray for you while we spend our time to worship God. Jesus, we don't want to live like the world lives, Father. We want to see your kingdom come. We want to see your will be done on earth. I want to speak to young people. Come and live for Jesus. This is the time. This is the time for you to rise up. You are not young. You are not young. You are precious for Jesus to do the work of God now, right now. Kiri araba shenda laba se kere, raba raba shenda laba se, iraba shiri anda laba se, iraba shenda diri ande diri ande. Kiri araba shenda laba se karaba se, robo bo 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 shenda araba se re. Spirit breaker, Holy Spirit, come and break the wall down. Kiri araba shanda la base. Heaven come down.
Heaven come down. Spirit break down. Break our walls down.
Spawn hearing a message like this. You know, you may not be up here, but where you're standing right now, I believe God has put something in your heart. You know, I was just listening to Pastor Sarah. You know, the second time I heard her now, my heart continued to beat so fast. You know, because I just sense that the Lord wants to impress upon us that as a corporate body called UMC, you know, we need to ask ourselves, what is God going to do through us for many who are here? You know, what Pastor Sarah has not been able to share with you is that I did ask her just 2 years ago. I say, what's your heart from here? All right. And I said, why don't you pray and ask God? And she came back with this plan. And I look at the plan, I couldn't even believe what she was writing there. But in that plan, she says that God seems to reveal to her that, you know, eventually many of this will go back home. Right. What she didn't tell you is that, you know, she was actually, you know, granted, you know, to go to an overseas country. But she turned that down and said, God has called me here. Right? And then God is going to call me and many of my fellow, you know, countrymen, they're going to go back to Myanmar. In the days to come, there'll be thousands who will go back to Myanmar. But we pray that as they go back to Myanmar, they will be disciples of Jesus Christ. Amen. And so I ask her, what do you think God is using you in the years to come? How many do you think God has laid upon your heart? And she said, Pastor, I believe we can reach out to 10 million Myanmar in the years to come. All right. And that's amazing. All right. And by the way, don't clap. Because if you clap, you're saying that I want to be part of it. All right. So I want you to realize that God has put us in a very unique position here in this nation. We don't know how long that window will remain open. We really don't know. But we pray that while the windows are open, let's use every opportunity. So this is a call for us to step up and say, God, use me, Lord. All right. Use me to reach out to someone. Just one person, a 16, 17-year-old, God has used a DMC person to reach out to. And look where she is today. And imagine what she will be in 10 years' time. I think this is an amazing, amazing story. So you're going to sing this for the last time. You know, if the Lord has so laid in your heart, don't leave this place without, you know, just acknowledging that and say, I need someone to just pray with me in this area. Okay, so whatever maybe the other needs in your life, we're going to open up this time, we're going to close in a short while because of time. You know, just come as the Lord leads you, and then I'm going to close, all right, after this song. Thank you, Lord. You know, church, let's stretch our hands to the Lord right now. Even those on live stream watching this live, you know, you can do the same wherever you are, wherever you are watching this from. You know, you can ask God to use you. You know, there are neighbors around you. How are you going to reach out to them? Ask God, because God will lead you to some amazing people that God's going to use you to touch, and God is going to transform them. So let's stretch our hands to the Lord and avail ourselves to Him and say, God, I don't have much to give, Lord. I may only have 5 loaves and 2 fish. That's all I have, God. But you can take that and you're going to multiply that. So will you make that simple prayer to the Lord right now as your hands are stretched out to Him and say, Lord, here I am, God, use me. Simple prayer. You may not be up here, but where you're standing right now, just say a simple prayer. Lord, use me, God, as I step up from this place. God, use me in a powerful way to reach out to just one or two person and begin, Lord, to invest into their life, to love them, to care for them, Lord. And we'll be amazed how God is going to multiply the little that we give to Him. And so, Holy Spirit, even as you see all hands are stretched out to you, God, Lord, may we be serious, God, with the way we live our lives. That, God, we do not want to waste it. We want, Lord, to be a history maker, God. Someone, Lord, who can affect another person. And in the days to come, we look back, God, we'll be amazed how the offering of our lives, God, have multiplied. As the Holy Spirit, will you hear the simple prayer of our hearts, God? Because I believe that is the desire of every person who loves Jesus. To know that very much in the heart of Jesus is the gospel of Jesus Christ. That everyone needs to hear the gospel, the good news, so that this good news can be a transformation, transforming agent, God, for that person to be the child of God. And so, Holy Spirit, will you hear the simplicity of our prayer and answer these prayers, God? Thank you, Lord. And so now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of our Heavenly Father and the fellowship of His Holy Spirit be with us both now and forevermore. And all God's children say, Amen. 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 God bless you. Go and love someone, take care of someone, and begin to see life transformation. God bless you.